Hi, this is Nat Metcalf. Is your club looking for a new kit? Don't forget to try the 3D kit designer online at flyhawk.com.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Netball Show with Flyhawk on this week's show. We'll be looking at the brand new NSL 2.0, the relaunch Super League from 2025. Who better to discuss this with than Tamsin Greenway? Tamsin, something that you've been passionate about for the last 15 years, certainly something, a big draw for as long as I've known you, really.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that knows me knows my feelings about netball, knows how much I've been going on about this since I was a player, since I spent time in Australia and since I got into coaching and the other areas as well, the commercial stuff and with Sky. So it's hugely exciting. I think over the years, and I say 15 years, and it has been that long, there's been opportunities. There's been probably some missed opportunities for us to, A, have pulled together a plan or at least actioned off the back of some great things. For example, the Commonwealth Games win in 2018. And, you know, even further back when things started to change and before Suncorp and ANZ really took hold of the market. So I very, very excited when this announcement came out because it's been a long time coming. And I genuinely think we are at another point where if we don't act now, we're going to miss a massive window.
Did it potentially need somebody like Claire to come into things and come into the setup and just have the actual freedom to review things?
Yeah, I think. Look, the reality is we've been saying this for a long time. There's not many governing bodies that solely run a fully professional commercial league, you know, without that support and added infrastructure and ideas and creativity and separation. Because, you know, England Netball have got enough on their plate without having somebody in for that role. So once they created that role and, you know, the perfect person came in with Claire Nelson to do it, it kind of made sense that this was going to just spiral. Look, it's been in the pipeline for a long time and there's been lots of people that have been in there helping and putting ideas forward and you know, how the board have been pushing and other people have been coming in and getting involved. So I think for Claire to then get involved, it sort of snowballed and we've got to a point now, we've got a plan. I remember sitting in a meeting years ago going, what's the plan? What's the strategy? Like, you know, what does this even look like? And finally we've got that. And that's what I'm most excited about, because not only have we got the plan, we've got the vision in that Fran wants to do it. And so England Netball are going to push it. And then they've brought someone like in Claire to go, right, she now just solely has this role and this is what we're going to provide and do.
And that initial buy-in from everybody, though, around the league has been really positive and really good to see.
Yeah, well, look, there's still a long way to go. And, you know, the 2025 is sensible because you've got a lot of stuff to do behind the scenes and the infrastructure. And there's still the huge investment pieces that need to be looked at. And it's still a big ask for clubs. Like, you know, you don't just go magic. If it was that easy, we would have done it years ago. The investment has to come. The clubs have to buy into the fact that they're going to stick with this and that they've got to find that money and find that sort of setup. And you've also got to look at the stuff that's happening in Australia and that's been happening in New Zealand, and you've got to take their good bits but also be wary of stuff that can happen when you go professional. So I think there's so much to do. So the run-in and the lead-up, it will go quickly to 2025, but there's a lot that can be happening. So I'm pleased the clubs are supporting, but there's also got to be this element of there's a lot to do before we get to that stage.
As part of this as well, there's also that re-tendering of teams as well. That'll just be the natural end of the previous agreement, won't it?
Yeah, like, look, again, it's what I'm saying. The clubs have got a lot to commit to on this if they want to go fully professional. So you've got to make sure it's the right clubs involved, the ones that have got the infrastructure, the support, the setups, that know what they're taking on. So it's really exciting that they're going out to tender. You've got to make sure that you give people opportunity to come in. I'd like to think that we get something set out of this. I think I've mentioned it before that we've had something like over 20 teams or something ridiculous since the inception of Super League. And Super Cup and different names and different towns and different cities. And when you're building a fan base, that's hard to do. So I'm hoping this will be a really good geographical split. I think we'll get the right names and the right brands in there as well. and the clubs that want to be involved understand what this is going to look like moving forward, and we'll be able to shift on some of the things that we perhaps haven't been able to do commercially in the past.
Could we potentially see more teams, or maybe changes to league structures? I don't know on that one.
Well, I think the whole point about this is it's always been a blank page. And I know there's already people going, oh, my God, don't let it be. Don't let there be the super shot, and don't let there be this, and don't let there be that. And can we do this? I think we've just got to be a bit open-minded. You know, if we're going to do more teams, fine, but then you've got to put in the infrastructure behind it. You've got to have a better coach development system. You've got to have, we've got to get to a point where players are that fully professional. So we've not got this huge gap, which we've got at the moment. So more teams is fine, but the quality has to be there. Which means you've got to do a lot of stuff behind the scenes. So I reckon it'd be more a case of, you know, who comes in, what does that look like? Who are the right teams to take us forward? And, you know, really push the league to the next level.
And we obviously both lived through what happened at Wasps, maybe an appreciation of what you were trying to achieve at the time. But that tie-in with the existing sports brand, having that structure in place as well, that'll be quite key for any of these applicants, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to say it gave you security. And at the time, it felt like that. And obviously, there was a lot going on behind the scenes. And to be fair, Wasps, with COVID and everything else, no one foresaw that coming. But yeah, I think multi-sports across similar brands, you know, what we're doing at Saracens Mavericks, the female rugby, the male rugby, and the netball, it's huge, and it's just the support you get around it. You know, my role now in full time is to work across the performance of netball, and it means I get to integrate and work with the guys and the ladies that are running the rugby world as well, and seeing how that all works and sits across. And there's so much key learnings you can have across multi-sports, and there's so much support with sponsors across the board and all the team behind the team that you get. So I think, I personally think it's a big way forward, and we do need to look at that. This is going to be commercially driven, which is why Claire Nelson is the right person for it. And the clubs will have to align with that, because it's the only way it will work and survive.
In those early days of Super Cup, was something like this ever on the horizon? Was it ever mentioned, oh, well, that'll be coming in a couple of years' time, or maybe just bit of a dream?
It was always the vision. I think there's been loads of us in there that, you know, saw it and wanted it to happen, and have tried to do things in the past as well. Like I said, you get windows. You can't just attack it every year. You get windows of opportunity off the back of really great things. So, you know, for this to work, we know we need better crowd engagement. We know we need more people watching. We need to translate the participation numbers into viewers. We have to do that. We've not done that well enough over the years, and we've got to find the missing link. So dream is whatever. Yeah, of course it was a dream, but it needs a proper strategy. And that's what I've been harping on for a very long time. Like, what does it look like? What's the progression? You know, don't just chop and change teams. Don't just put new numbers in. Don't just change league structures if there's no agenda behind it. And I think there was always the idea of it, but I don't think there was ever the right people driving it forward, or the time and the effort and the people to drive it forward as well. And I don't think we've ever got to this stage where we've been right, actually, this is the full blown plan. So yeah, maybe it was all just a bit of a pipe dream back then, but I think whatever, we are now where we are, and I'm very excited that it's got to this point.
Hi, I'm Jeeva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
England netball have obviously tried things along the last couple of seasons. Obviously, Easter weekend, went to Glasgow, taking the games to the Copper Box, and Nottingham for the opening weekend as well. And they've not been afraid to try new ideas, though, have they?
No, absolutely. I don't ever think the ideas aren't the problem. I think for me, it's the chopping and changing of stuff. So, you know, yes, you've got to try things, but then you've got to build on stuff. So, and for me, I've harped on about brand netball for my whole time. It's about people working less individually to survive and more together as a group to thrive. So, you know, how do we engage fans across the board? Like, this whole joint learnings about
how have Thunder done certain things, and how do Bath do certain things, and how do Mavericks do things, and how do we all start to link in together and go, right? And it is happening. And I'm not saying it's because people don't want to. I'm just saying it's just been difficult because everyone's got their own time constraints and they're all trying to do their own stuff to literally get through the season. And I think this will massively help with us all getting on board and going, right, what is the direction? And, you know, if we are going to try things, it's for purpose. And we continue with it. One of the things we said in Scotland when Karen Atkinson and I went in, it's like we didn't want to set anything up that was just a one-hit wonder. We had to go in and set something up that was long-term, which meant it was going to take longer to work, but in the long run, if we ever did walk away, it will be in a position where it they've got stuff to carry on with and stuff to build on. And I think that's where we've got to be with this, and that's why I have full faith in Claire Nelson and in Fran and what they're trying to do, because I believe we are going to put in a system where we build on it. The vision is there, and we can get to something that is absolutely incredible.
One of the things that is mentioned is how people use their disposable income. We've said each season, number of people playing it against the number that actually go and watch games. And that's going to be a big drive in all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, more now than ever, times are tough for so many people, and we've got to explore ways of how we do get bums on seats, what's that audience look like, how we do help and support people. But there's also the flip side, you know, that everything does cost. And I think for a long time in netball, we've not probably expected those changes and seen those changes. And the product's got to be right. You know, if you're going to ask people to buy into stuff, then the product has to be brilliant. Otherwise, it is a waste of time. So I think there's going to be this double-edged sword of what does it look like commercially? How do we build that fan base, but also what they're getting in return? And that is going to be the tricky part of the puzzle. And I don't think there's any magic answer to that, but understanding who our audience is and making sure that we really work at that target for the next year and making sure that things change this year in Super League so we're up running come 2025 will be huge. And that's the leadership and the communication we'll need from England Netball and from Claire. And I know that we'll get.
The last time I spoke to Leanne from Sky, she obviously mentioned the fact that games that were shown on their YouTube channel got an extra audience outside the main broadcast time. So it's things like that, maybe potentially offering more games as part of YouTube next season. Can we handle it?
Well, I think you've got to absolutely understand the audience, haven't you? And we know we get bigger numbers after the event. Like, I find it quite interesting. It's different ways of looking at it. For example, if I knew a football result, I'm not sure I'd go and watch the football game.
Yeah.
Afterwards, yeah. But with netball, I absolutely do. And so, you know, we have to start understanding how people operate and what they like and how they're consuming the sport. And that's the thing. I keep saying it's a blank piece of paper because we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to other sports. We are actually very different in so many ways, and that's a huge strength. So it's trying to work out how we consume it and how we monetize that. Like, what does that look like? Is it better to get millions of views on YouTube than trying to sell out 20,000 seats in a stadium? I don't know. And that's the kind of questions that we'll need to be asking and need to be looking at. Or, you know, can we do both? What does that look like? And can we do it regularly all season? Like, you know, do we go from having big events and venues this season to having to do it X amount of times next season? And what does that look like in terms of getting bums on seats? Because we know it's a slog at the minute to sell out your big venues. And it's doable, but it takes a lot of time and effort. So it's all that stuff that needs to be approached this year to make sure that this is the success that we want it to do, because it's really exciting. And like I say, the right people are involved now. So hopefully this is going to be the start of something really special.
Yeah, you'd mentioned as well, it's not going to happen at the click of the fingers, but it's there, definitely ready to build, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I'm happy, you know, people are being brave, and they are being brave, because it's not, you know, like I said, there is no magic wand. It's not like it's the finished article and it's like, here it is, and this is what works, and this is brilliant. It's not. It's going to take a lot of work, but it's going to be well worth it. And I think we've got the right starting points and the right building blocks, and we need to make sure that we don't waste this year, like I said, and get on it so we hit the ground running come 2025.
I wouldn't like to think that this is existing partners wanting more.
Look, we've had loads of support in the past few years with partners and brands that want to get involved in the game. I think the reality is, to take it to the next step, we're going to need further investment, and we're going to need people to buy into that dream and vision as well. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of partners that want to go on that journey, and there'll be plenty more that that can see the vision and will jump on board as well. Women's sport is a very, it's an easier way in to the sporting world, and actually something that is massively talked about at the moment. So any sort of existing partners or new ones want to come in, they're looking for opportunities to break that mold. And this is a perfect time for someone with that kind of vision to come on board and go, right, I can see what they're trying to do here, and this is how we can help, and this is the dual benefits.
And the investment is already there from the sky. You've already got a new set for off the court.
I know. It was really nice being in the studio and doing something else rather than me and Caroline trying to do it from home or in wherever, although we did do one like that the other day. I can't say this enough. Like, Sky have done more for the sport than anyone. And I know people want more. I get all of that. I get all of that. They've done a hell of a lot, and they continue to do a hell of a lot. And trust me, the people in there there's so many people that champion our sport that are constantly pushing it forward and are trying to do new things and stuff that, you know, the other side of the, you know, some of the analysis stuff we did was way ahead before some of the rest of the world were doing it. I still think it's some of the best around. Like, there's stuff that they're trying to do and continue to try to do. And it's not always been easy, because access to the games and how much they can show and budgeting and costing and the return and all the other stuff that comes out of it. So, you know, I think we have to remember that for a long time they've been pushing our sport. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward and which existing partners remain and who new comes on board and who takes this sport forward. And I really hope Sky are a massive part of that.
And finally, Tamsin, how are things going at MAV so far?
Good. You know what? It's so nice. It's so nice to be back coaching regularly. So now I'm taking the under-19s like back in with a group. So nice to get in. I'll be supporting Cam in different roles and there. And you know what? It's such a different role, and probably one that's fairly new across the country, like the role that I've got. And so for me, it's quite exciting because, it's a bit of a blank piece of paper. You know, when I commit to something, everybody knows I'm in, I'm all in. And that's what it'll be this season. So I'm, very excited to be fully invested in a team again back in the Super League, because although I was with Mavs last year, it was 2 days a week and it wasn't as hands-on. So now to actually get back and be involved, and, you know, I can't wait to get my hands on people like Emma Thacker and Ellie Ratu and Vicky, and work with people like Raz and, you know, the whole heap of them. I've loved working with people like Lisa Mather and Kira and stuff. So I'm buzzing about what that role is going to be and look like this season. And like I said, just to be back involved in the Super League at such an exciting time.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcast rail.